through a few of the scriptural references about Elijah. And we also know that God himself has made reference to him, but he says, indeed, he will come. So God is making a future reference, even besides John the Baptist. So the Spirit doesn't die, certainly not the Spirit of Elijah. Now, why would Elijah have to be needed in the spirit of it in this generation? Well, let me give you some excerpts of God talking about, in 2 Kings, talking about a very important period of Samaria and what angered the Lord in his time, in this particular time. Let me read something to you. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kuath and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was in the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. So this is a precedent, let's say, of the need of a spirit of Elijah to even come among a generation. Let's even compare it today. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and behold, they that slay them, because they know not the manner of God of the land. And the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom brought out and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. They wanted to correct what the problem was. How about every nation made gods of their own? Now, that's not a good thing to have. So what nation can you think of has made gods of their own? United States of America. We have about every type of religion, a freedom of any kind of a god in our nation. Is God happy with that? I don't think so. Would he bless it? I don't think so. And yet every time you have a Christian meeting, I just left one, the annual Christian breakfast, and I'm recording this right after the breakfast this morning. The first thing we did was pledge allegiance to the flag. The next thing we asked God to bless America. But now I read, how about every nation made gods, little g, of their own and put them in the houses in the high places, that's their places of worship, and every nation in their cities wherein they dwell. And the men of Babylon made Sakoth-Thanoth, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima. What does that say? In this country, we have Judaism, doesn't believe in Christ. We have Muslim, they don't believe in Christ. We have we even have Satanists in San Francisco, believe it or not. They certainly don't believe in God or Christ. Now, what does it mean? They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of nations whom they carried away from hence. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the high places. Now, wasn't that really the issue that brought Elijah on the scene back in years and years before to the nation of Israel? When you introduce other gods, you can talk about freedom and religion all you want to, but I don't think God says that we should bear freedom of religion, that we should have anything. He sent Christ down, his son, for a purpose. And if you don't believe in him, you have serious problems. This nation does no longer really believe that it is a Christian nation per se, certainly not the apostolic church that began 2,000 years ago. I personally believe, and I speak this forth with the spirit of Elijah, that it came to pass as they still went on and talked what happened. We are not following the God that rules the universe, that sent his son. We can't possibly ask God to bless this nation when we allow every little god coming in here the freedom to operate, little g. It's kind of difficult, but I guess God's going to be able to handle it and to correct it. But in Israel, they had the same problem hundreds of years ago. And you know what? There was a man that kept following Elijah around. His name was Elisha. He believed in Elijah being the prophet of his time to correct Israel. Israel had Baal. How do I say? Little Baal Jesus is running around. Little J. They didn't believe in the Lord God of Israel. And then Elijah also told Elisha, "What do you follow me for?" Elisha was thinking he wanted the mantle, and he wanted to go on in the work of Elijah. He wanted to carry on. So he followed him everywhere he went. And let me read something to you. Elijah said to him, "Tarry, I pray thee here," he's telling to Elisha now, "for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee." This is what Elisha said, and they two went on. So it looked like Elijah had a little extra friend on the side constantly following him. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry land. And they, by the way, these people that watched this saw the power of God work through Elijah. And it came to pass when they had gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Now, Elijah knew he was going to leave this earth. Was he going to leave this earth by being put in a pine box? I don't think so. Somehow or another, he had communicated with the heavens and knew he was going to be taken out in a supernatural manner. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As I've been talking about constantly from time to time, I have been talking about chariots and shuttle flights and what have you. And there was a reason for it. I was laying a precedent and a groundwork and a foundation to let you know that that's going on today. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot. Didn't I say last week that God has 20,000 chariots? A chariot of fire and horses of fire. Now, I kind of believe that God knew later on in the 21st century that we would be talking about horse power. When we look at a beautiful car, do we think in terms of horses? No, we think of something that has horse power, and it's a reference. So here it is in the Old Testament, and you can go see for it yourself in 2 Kings what it was referencing. It was a chariot. It was something from outer space. It was a shuttle. But it parted them both asunder. See, when this came down, this chariot came between Elisha and Elijah. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. In other words, this thing took off in a magnificent manner. And what a description. Can you imagine what Elisha saw? And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father." He was astonished. "The chariot of Israel." He said, "My goodness gracious, this is the chariot of future, and the horsemen thereof." Evidently, he saw some pilots, probably angels that were in this chariot, and that took Elijah away. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Why? Did Elijah send down plutonium or uranium? No, he sent down his mantle. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And you see, Elijah had told him that if you receive my mantle, when you see me be taken up, you will have the transformation of my power that God has given me to you and your ministry. And Elisha took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went ahead. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, God, when he was on earth, talked about Elijah and the spirit thereof. And he talked about it in the last verse of the Old Testament. And he's talked about it time and time again. And so it's important that you understand that even what went on then goes on now. Let's talk about God's first shuttle flight. It happened in Elijah's time, hundreds of years ago. So really and truly, let me read to you. The first shuttle flight is depicted and described in the Bible. It occurred when Elijah was lifted up on a one-way ticket to heaven. The source of the energy for the flight was what? This is in 2 Kings, the power of God. Then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. In God's shuttle, the one thing that was released and fell to the earth was Elijah's mantle. That's God's blessing, which Elisha had asked for, along with a double anointing. Elisha had more of an anointing than Elijah. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me, you should say when you pray. This double anointing possessed more power than any plutonium or toxic material ever seen on the face of the earth on any shuttle, because it originated and emanated from God's power, not man's pride. And I'm afraid we've fallen into man's pride with our reach into heaven with our so-called spy satellites and what have you. It's a source of power that comes from God residing and coming to earth from holy heaven, not from evil earth. Now, in the Psalms you'll read, it says the chariots of God are 20,000. Listen, only one came for Elijah. But it says even thousands of thousands. So God is returning from heaven on another one-way shuttle trip accompanied with all his saints. That's what I believe, if you believe the book of Revelation. The mess that man has made due to the rebelliousness of not recognizing the creator of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. God's attitude is, I came to send, I'm quoting Jesus now, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, and what he's going to look like when he returns. In Revelation, it says his eyes were like a flame of fire. I don't know. It doesn't look like that sweet Jesus that left us. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe, you know, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, following him in white horses. By the way, these armies are the saints that are returning. You can find all this in Scripture and also certainly in Revelation. This will be the final and last shuttle flight that'll happen on earth. And if you're around, you'll see it. And believe me, things are happening in the world today where it's getting closer and closer, where all the saints and martyrs will return with Christ on horses and chariots of fire, just like Elijah left. By the way, if we have them, God has them, to finally clean up the filth and decadence that a godless world embodies. And believe me, this is a godless world. This week, you know, we may be successful, and we work successful. We heard it on our program in shooting down an American satellite. It was God that at least had mercy on America for this material not to poison everyone. And we, as we read to you, were very, very part of the God giving this nation the kinetic energy concept. And I read you letters from the president. These are all true things. And that's why I believe the spirit of Elijah still exists today. And God sent these messages and they were passed on to you. Now, in shooting down this American satellite, supposedly it was only carrying hydrazine. And undoubtedly, we feel quite powerful and arrogant now that we've done this. And we're going to become very prideful, and we're going to really be arrogant, and we're going to be sticking out our chest displaying to the world our technology and how great we are and the advantages and superiority in the field of ballistic missiles capabilities. But God is watching and patiently waiting for some recognition and glory in this world media event. Has anyone that you've heard anywhere on television or radio given God the glory? We gave God the glory last week. We said it was an invention given to mankind, to President Bush Sr., from a kinetic energy concept that was responded to. So we know this was used, and it says even today in all your publications that it wasn't an explosive device on the head of this missile. It was the actual weight of 40 pounds. And by the way, it met at 35,000 miles an hour impact. That's what disintegrated it. But unfortunately, once again, no one will receive, even though he created, God won't receive the credit. Everything in his world, eventually, this pattern of behavior continues and man ignores God because they believe they've become God themselves. He is finally going to say, enough is enough. That's when he's going to return, folks. Then when God decides to return, there will be no weaponry that man has invented and created that will stop the invasion of a unrecognizable God. I believe that people will think it's an invasion from outer space. They won't believe it's Christ. To an unreasonable earth that he lovingly created and we selfishly destroyed. Now, the book of Revelation, I'm going to read something to you. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that if and that he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He'll be a benevolent dictator, in other words. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies of me to do these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so I come, Lord Jesus. This was a proclamation in the book of Revelation, my favorite book, because having been to Patmos and in that very cave, I've felt the presence of Christ himself, and certainly the presence of John of Patmos, the apostle, the last apostle to live, for that matter of fact. So why am I hell-bent on talking negatively about this nation? Because there's a reality we're going to have to realize, that we're not the nation we think we are, any more than Israel is the nation that they believe they're God's people. Only maybe 3-5% are even religious, much less even believing in Christ, their Messiah. So how can they be blessed? In this country, look what's happening. I'm just so upset over the fact that as a bishop in the Orthodox faith, having the apostolic anointing that has come down for 2,000 years, as I was in this breakfast this morning, I realized that something was missing. There was references, and it made a lot of references to the importance of having a personal relationship with the Lord. I too believe that. I think we all are personally should ask God to fulfill our needs. I think it was a wonderful sermon from the pastor that was from the Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York, and the work, a wonderful work he's doing. But it always seems like in Pentecostalism that they leave out the importance of the unity of the church. You see, when it was made reference to, when Peter was in prison and the chains fell off of him because an angel came and touched him, the unity came not from just Peter praying, but a church that was united, undivided. We need to understand that when Christ said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, he realized there was going to be division, and he prayed to the Father, and this is important. It's one of the few prayers he gave to the Father, other than the fact, you know, why are you abandoning me, when he was on the cross before he gave up the ghost. But the bottom line is that Christ prayed for the unity, I and thee and you and me, for the church to be united. It takes united prayers. That's why when two or more, you at least need to have the bottom round number of two. Because individually, if you're praying for something, you might be praying for the wrong thing. If you can get one person to pray with you, maybe perhaps you're closer to the truth of what you should be praying about. What am I saying here? I'm saying that there's not enough emphasis on the one holy apostolic universal Catholic Orthodox Church. That's the church that got started 2,000 years ago that Peter headed up. There were other apostles. He wasn't the only one. So Catholicism can't stick out its chest and say this is the only church, because there were other apostles. Certainly we know that Andrew was the one that founded basically as a patron apostle to the Orthodox faith. In other words, there were five seats of Christianity that were true: Alexandria, Constantinople, Jerusalem, Rome. And yes, I believe that Peter was the first apostle, that he did, because he was the one that first recognized that Christ was the Son of living God, and that he was very definitely was the, he said by the Holy Spirit, Christ even told him, the Holy Spirit has shown you this. Peter recognized that he was the Christ. What bothers me is that our country is disunited in Christ, not united. And we're still, and we're really heading for a horrible secular direction. Who really cares about financial stability when you're going to hell anyway? And the money doesn't count. What really counts is where your soul's going to wind up. Are you going to be in the presence of God? What can we really brag about in this nation today? Why am I so constantly talking about our beloved country? Because here God gave them twice now. Allowed them to shoot down something that could have poisoned the masses. Back when we could have lost our beloved capital, Washington, D.C., and God intervened supernaturally with a meteor. Has God ever gotten the glory about that? Have you heard one thing about that? And yet we brag about we were the first in space. That's a big lie. The Russians weren't and we weren't. First one that was in space that lived was Elijah. And he was in a shuttle. And he didn't poison the earth with plutonium or whatever power God was using. That's not a fable, folks. That's the truth. Elijah got into a shuttle and was taken to heaven. He reappeared, yes, on the Mount of Transfiguration. We all know that. We can read that. So he didn't die. Now, Moses appeared with him. And that's really strange. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ said to the three apostles that were with him, Peter, James, and John, don't tell this to anybody, because they probably wouldn't believe it anyway. Here was Elijah and Moses standing on the mountain of Transfiguration with Christ, who illuminated. See, I believe that same illumination is going to come when he returns. And he will come with all power and glory. Now, is he going to go to Washington and bless whoever the president is at that time? I don't think so. I personally believe that what Scripture says. Let me tell you a secret. All the nations. All. Do we understand what all means? A-L-L. It doesn't say all nations except the U.S. It says all nations. And who leads all nations today, or at least endeavors and tries to? It's we do. All nations will come to meet him and be against him. And God will put them down in 1 hour. See, all the weaponry we have, all of the laser systems, all of our nuclear power, everything we do as so-called great nation that's misused most of the time for war, and yes, for protection too. I'm not against the fact that we should be protected. I have grandchildren just like some of you listening have, and I want them protected. And I pray for them just like you do. But you know what? Being a bishop, I'm also a realist. When I see us not lining up with Scripture, when I see us repeating the same mistakes other great nations have, such as Rome, we are a duplicate of the Roman Empire. Our architecture is Roman and Greek. We emanate and emulate the Roman Empire, the revised Roman Empire, which, by the way, was atheistic. Now, it seems maybe we might have started as at least a reformed Christian nation. We had broken away from the Catholic Church, but I won't get into that. That's another half hour. But that was the one church that existed then of the West, that was along with the East, which was Orthodoxy. Division is how you weakens you and how you come against your enemy. If you can divide your enemy, you can win. But Christ said something. Even with this division, although he prayed for unity, it still will prevail. The one true remnant church will still prevail. So there is some hope there, folks. And I know maybe in a way, I hope I didn't offend you, because I touched on Pentecostalism. I've touched on Protestantism. There's one way we can unite. And I've said this week after week after week, by the Holy Chalice. If we can all gather around in unity and receive Holy Blessed Communion, which means we're going to have to correct a lot of our theology in our churches and our how we believe in Christ, then truly we are in unity. And if we are in unity receiving the body and blood of Christ, we have hope. In this country, we're about to elect a president who talks about unity. I could care less about the unity he might progress to in Congress, or she might progress to in Congress, or they might progress to in Congress. I care about the unity and the faith in God. Because why? Because that is the only salvation to this country. And that's why I speak so heavily about our beloved country. I served it. I love this country, and because I love it, I put myself out on a limb Maybe some of you are so offended that you don't even want to hear any more about what I have to say when I speak to you. But you know, it doesn't cost you a dime. I haven't asked you for a single nickel, have I? And that's a little bit different than the rest of the ministries that you hear. And we bring things to you that God asks us to bring. So remember, the spirit of Elijah is speaking to you today. It's alive and well. And the first shuttle was not ours. The first shuttle was Elijah's that came and got him. Remember that in Jesus' name. Remember when you think about me with the spirit of Elijah, that the first shuttle, and by the way, no plutonium came from it, didn't mark the earth and hurt the earth, but a mantle came from it with the revelation and the anointing of God, twice what Elijah had, which fell on Elisha. God bless you. I love you. And you know God loves you, or this program wouldn't be coming to you. In Jesus' name, I just ask you one thing. Please try to review what has been said. And I hope to God that you can believe that this is being said to you to help you and to guide you and to bless you. I love you. God loves you. Amen.
Bishop Hare Lambos has spoken as a Knight of Malta in the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre and has spoken from his opinions.
Couldn't you, and how you come against your enemy. If you can divide your enemy, you can win. But Christ said something. Even with this division, although he prayed for unity, it still will prevail. The one true remnant church will still prevail. So there is some hope there, folks. And I know maybe in a way, I hope I didn't offend you, because I touched on Pentecostalism. I've touched on Protestantism. There's one way we can unite. And I've said this week after week after week, by the Holy Chalice. If we can all gather around in unity and receive Holy Blessed Communion, which means we're going to have to correct a lot of our theology in our churches and our how we believe in Christ, then truly we are in unity. And if we are in unity receiving the body and blood of Christ, we have hope. In this country, we're about to elect a president that who talks about unity. I could care less about the unity he might progress to in Congress, or she might progress to in Congress, or they might progress to in Congress. I care about the unity and the faith in God. Because why? Because that is the only salvation to this country. And that's why I speak so heavily about our beloved country. I served it. I love this country. And because I love it, I put myself out on a limb. Maybe some of you are so offended that you don't even want to hear any more about what I have to say when I speak to you. But you know, it doesn't cost you a dime. I haven't asked you for a single nickel, have I? And that's a little bit different than the rest of the ministries that you hear. And we bring things to you that God asks us to bring. So remember, the spirit of Elijah is speaking to you today. It's alive and well. And the first shuttle was not ours. The first shuttle was Elijah's that came and got him. Remember that in Jesus' name. Remember when you think about me with the spirit of Elijah, that the first shuttle, and by the way, no plutonium came from it, didn't mark the earth and hurt the earth, but a mantle came from it with the revelation and the anointing of God, twice what Elijah had, which fell on Elisha. God bless you. I love you. And you know God loves you, or this program wouldn't be coming to you. In Jesus' name, I just ask you one thing. Please try to review what has been said. And I hope to God that you can believe that this is being said to you to help you and to guide you and to bless you. I love you. God loves you. Amen.
Bishop Hare Lambos has spoken as a Knight of Malta in the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre and has spoken from his opinions.